All right, that went kind of quick. Maybe we ought to pass that around again, amen? Yeah. Keep the preacher happy. Yeah. Things can't go bad on my watch, all right? All right, if y'all didn't put enough in, put some extra in on the next time around, okay? All right, open your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 2. I got something, you might say, stuck in my crawl this morning. And the Lord kind of laid this on my heart. I know if I've heard it, you've heard it. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about our soul, if we have one. If we have one, amen. That's the new thing going around, that we don't have a soul right now. We're going to get one later on. I don't know about you, but when I hear stuff like that, it just kind of lights me up. Yeah. Folks, let me tell you something. Hey, we got a good God.
Amen.
There's no new revelation.
Right.
Everything is, the word is settled. We hold it right here in our hand.
Amen.
When folks come at you with this new stuff, stick your fingers in your ears like this and just run, okay? Because I'm telling you right now, there's nothing to it. It's just another way, another gimmick of the devil. He wants to discourage you. He wants to keep you confused. And that's all he's trying to do. And if he can keep you confused, then you're not going to tell somebody else about Jesus.
Right.
Why? Because you're not too sure about it yourself. And if you're not positive about your salvation and the things that you believe, then you're not likely going to share them with somebody else.
Right.
So when you hear this kind of stuff, stick your fingers in your ears and run. Let me tell you something. We got a pastor that God has blessed.
Amen.
I mean, the knowledge that God has given him is just tremendous. All the readings I've done and studying I've done, he just continues to amaze me. And I've never seen or heard him teach anything wrong. So why do we grab so easily for things that are false?
Right.
Well, we're so acceptable to it. And I know that if I heard this, I heard it last week. And I know that if I've heard it, then I know some of you here have heard it as well. And we get this stuff in us, and it gets us all mixed up. And we need to stay straight on our scriptures. All right, so what I want to talk to you about a little bit is what happens to our soul when we die, and like I said, if we have a soul. And if we get time, which I don't know if we will or not, depends on how fast you listen, how fast I get through this, as the preacher always says, we might touch a little bit on hell and whether or not that's real. That's something else I heard this week. And it sets me on fire, amen? I get burned up over that. You know, it's like the preacher always says, you know, if I was headed to hell, I'd be trying to put the fire out too, right? That's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to take the fire out of hell and the blood out of salvation. And boy, it just cooks my goose. I want to talk to you about, does it matter? Does it matter? Let me ask you something. Does it matter what kind of Bible we have?
Yes, sir.
I mean, does it matter whether I use a King James or NIV or RSV? Does it matter whether or not I'm Baptist or Muslim? Does it matter?
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, does it matter what we do when we come to church? Does it matter the kind of music that we play?
Yes, sir.
Does it matter how we dress?
Yes, sir.
See, everything that we do matters. Everything matters. Hey, how about the gospel? Does it matter whether or not we teach the gospel?
Amen.
Hey, that's what we're here for. Everything that we do matters. Everything in our Bible is doctrine, which is truth.
Right.
So it all matters. The devil takes these little bitty things and he twists them.
Right.
And if he can twist your thought on the soul or anything else, if he can twist your thought on hell, you understand this has a snowball effect. It doesn't just stop with you and I right here.
Right.
If we go back generations and look how we have progressively gotten away from God, further and further and further from the Lord in the past 100 years. What do you think if the Lord doesn't come, if he tears, how do you think it's going to be in the next 25 years or next 30 years?
Right.
See, we allow these little falsehoods to get into our lives. It takes our eyes off of the truth, and we say, well, it doesn't matter. Well, it doesn't matter what kind of music I listen to. That's what we say. But then you see the church down the road, you see it start to unravel, don't you? Just a little at a time, little things, they start to unravel. But see, it affects our lives. Everything that we know about God has an effect on our life.
Right.
Folks, let me tell you something. You know, I thought I knew a little bit about God before I went to college here. You know what I found out? I found out I didn't know anything.
Good.
And I found out I still don't know anything. As the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know anything. You know, I just beg God for a lesson this morning. You know, Dr. Carter gets up here and makes everything look so simple.
Right.
It's not. And folks, when it comes to God, we don't know a whole lot. I'll tell you that right now. Listen to me a minute. Everything that you and I know is created. Everything that we know, everything we understand, everything, any idea, everything that we know about anything is created.
Yep.
God's not created. So how much do you think we really truly know about God? We don't know a whole lot about him, do we? But we do have his word. We've got what he's given us. And if we just take it and grab a hold to it and hang on to the truths that he's given us and quit listening to all these falsehoods. You know, the preacher get up here and teach and teach and teach for years. And then we hear one thing on TV or somewhere else out here in the world that's a little different. And boy, we just grab it and hang on to it and run with it. Folks, there is no new revelation. There's nothing new. This is junk from the devil trying to mess you up. That's all it is. So we need to stay focused on what God has given us. Everything matters. Everything in Scripture matters. And so we're going to cover that first thing about our soul. Let me read something to you. I'm going to read a verse to you out of Galatians 5:9. It says, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump."
Yep.
So everything matters, doesn't it? We just allow a little bit in, and it ruins it. It just turns us sour. It just messes up everything. So we need to hang on to that we know is true, and forget about all the other stuff. We have to remember that, and this is something we forget about. We're bad about this, folks. We'll get to the lesson here in a minute. We're bad about this. We get up in the morning, and I know I say we because I'm guilty as well. We get up in the morning. We start our day. Boom, take off running. We're going to set the world on fire. But we forget one thing. Every morning, not just Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Every day of our life is a spiritual battle. Every morning when you get up, the devil's awaiting you. Now, whether or not you're ready for him is a different thing, but he's ready for you. And he's after you. He can't get your soul if you're saved, but he can sure mess up your world. You know what I'm saying? And we need to remember what it says in Ephesians 6:12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places."
Amen.
That's what we face every single day. But see, we get up and hit the floor running, and we forget about that. Folks, we need to be on our faces before God every day. Every day when we start our day, and every day when we end our day. We need to be praying to God to guide us and direct us. Keep us from all this heresy that we hear. It's so easy to pick up on stuff and little things. And when I hear this kind of stuff, you know, sometimes I hear something, I don't even know what they're saying for sure, but it just sticks in my craw. God just tells me, that ain't right. So I have to go look it up. I get to doing some research. I learn a lot that way too, by the way. But that's what we all need to do. All right, well, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to look at verse 7. Verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." Now listen to this. "And man became a what? A living soul." Folks, we got a soul.
Amen.
So whoever it is that's telling you that we don't have a soul, need to go back and read the first book of the Bible. Amen. Because we do have a soul.
Right.
God created us and we became a living soul. So I don't know exactly where they get this stuff, but we do have a soul. The word soul is used 432 times in the King James Bible. It's mentioned a whole lot for something that we don't have or possess, amen?
Right.
I mean, that alone would kind of indicate to you that we do have a soul.
Right.
And if we have a soul, then what's going to happen to it? Where's it going to go? What's it going to do? Matthew 16:26. Says, "For what is it man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" It's kind of hard to exchange or give something for something you don't have, right?
Right.
Amen. We have a soul. And in Matthew 22:37, it says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Here again, you can't love with something that you don't have. And Jesus tells us to love him with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. So we obviously do have a soul. So what happens to the soul when it dies? That's the next thing I want to talk to you a little bit about. What happens to the soul when it dies? They're teaching the new revelations today. They're teaching that the soul, you don't have a soul, or you don't get a soul until you get to heaven. At judgment time, you'll get a soul. And if you do have a soul, it just lies in the ground. Well, that's not true. Now, where does the soul go? It depends on whether you're lost or saved.
Amen.
Now, a lot of folks don't want to get into that either.
Right.
But if you're lost and you're saved, your soul's going to go to two different places.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to look at today. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Amen. So where's the soul go? It goes to be with the Lord. Turn to Philippians 1:23. Let's see. All right. Philippians 1:23. "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Point being is that, according to what Paul's saying here, is that if he was to leave the body, depart, which is what we call, what we know as death, he's going to be with the Lord.
Amen.
He's saying he'd rather be with the Lord. So he wants to leave this old fleshy body behind. He wants to go to heaven. He wants to be with the Lord. But he's saying, in this particular case, it's profitable for us if he was to stay. But his desires is to be with God. Let me see. Turn just a few pages to 1 Thessalonians 4:14. You don't mind using your Bible a little bit, do you? I know I got a head start on you because I looked them up, but 1 Thessalonians 4:14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Well, that answers the question of if your soul's in the ground. Well, if it's in the ground, how's God going to bring it with him? And if you don't have a soul, how can God bring it with him? If you don't get one until after judgment and we get to heaven, that hadn't happened yet. So obviously we do have a soul, and obviously it did go to be with the Lord, amen? Because according to scriptures, it says he's going to bring it, he's bringing it back, he's bringing you back with him. If we're dead and past, we're coming back with the Lord. The 1 Thessalonians 4:15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." And you notice that he said we. Now, I mean, if he was saying we at that time, what's he talking about? He is also saying that the rapture could have happened right then, right? He's saying we. So he's including himself in there. So listen to me, folks. If that was true then, about 2,000 years ago, where do we stand today? Hey, the rapture can happen anytime. It's imminent. It's coming. So that right there, we see the importance of us being prepared for the rapture, which means what? If we want our soul to go be with the Lord, we need to be saved. Not tomorrow, today. That's something to think about, isn't it? We need to be prepared at all times. And then look at 4:16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Then he goes on in 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So in these verses, we see the soul, the living, and the dead, don't we? We see the soul coming back with God. We see the living being caught up together with them in the clouds. And we see that the dead in Christ will be raised first. That's the bodies, folks. This is not the last day. This is the calling out of the saved. This is what we call the rapture.
Yep.
This is not referring to the last days after the judgment time. This is talking about right before judgment. This is talking about this could happen right now. This is, you know, we don't have time to get into it this morning, but there's a whole different, two different scenarios between the coming of the Lord to gather his saved and the second coming. There's two different events. And we get those confused very easily, but we need to keep them separated. I mean, we need to understand that this is a believing is the very basis for our salvation. Hey, everything about our faith is what? Belief. It's believing. And it seems to me that people nowadays, we have more faith in wood than we do God. You ever thought about that? I'm going to explain that to you. I know it sounds kind of odd, but we have more faith in wood. Now, I'll give you an example. This morning, and I didn't get here real early, Brother, we had a run in here, didn't we? Brother Oswald and I, we just barely get here. But when you came in this morning, did you inspect your pew? Or did you just walk in and sit down? You just walked in and sat down, didn't you? You didn't check it to see if it was broke. You didn't test it to see if it could hold you. You just walked in here, and by faith, you sat down in that pew, knowing, without a doubt, that pew was going to hold you up. Now, I'm telling you right now, if we would put that kind of faith and that kind of trust in our God, can you imagine what we could accomplish today? Amen. Folks, we have a different attitude in here this morning, I guarantee you that.
Right.
If we had that much faith, and think about it, you know, the Lord said, with the faith of a mustard seed, we can move a mountain. I haven't seen any mountains moving. So we're really lacking in faith, aren't we? This is something that all of us need to work on. And because it's important. It's important. Without our faith, what do we have? Nothing. It amazes me that we believe and we claim to say that we believe that we're saved. Without a doubt. I can ask you today, raise your hand if you're going to heaven. Everybody in the building, raise your hand. No doubt about it, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven, but I don't believe God's word. That's what we're saying. See, when we believe these heresies that's being taught, what we're saying is that the simple things that God has given us, we don't have enough faith to believe that. How can we say, without a doubt, that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, but at the same time, with the same breath, I don't have enough faith to believe God's word? Folks, it's just that simple. It really is. It's truly that simple. The simplicity of the gospel is just amazing. Yep. It's so simple that God God has given us the grace that he's given us through his son. It's so simple that man just does not want to believe it. We want to grab a hold to anything and everything we can other than the simple truth. We try to make everything so complicated. Let me read another verse to you. Well, before I do that, let me we're talking about the resurrection right here. Resurrection of the body. This is something else that kind of irks me sometimes. People don't believe that this body is going to be resurrected. I don't care if it's blowed up, burned up, washed away. I don't care what happens to it. This body is going to be resurrected. This body. I'm talking about right here, me, my flesh. If I die today, 100 years from now, the Lord come, this body, this very same body, I'm not talking about a new one. I'm talking about this body. Is going to be resurrected. That's what the scriptures teach. What did Job say in verse 19:26? He says, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body," listen to what it says, "yet in my flesh shall I see God." Amen. Hey, folks, when Jesus died on the cross and he redeemed us and he purchased us with his blood, he bought us body, soul, and spirit. He bought every bit of us.
Right.
Now, is this body going to enter heaven? No. No. It's going to be changed.
Yep.
But it's going to be resurrected. It is going to be resurrected. Now, I know people want to argue that, and they don't believe that, but I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something that might make believers out of some of you. I want to go to, let me make sure I don't get ahead of myself. I'm trying to stick to my plan here this morning because I'm bad about not sticking to my lesson. I get off track, and I just keep going. So I'm trying to stick to what I got here this morning. Let me find my page here now. I got myself messed up. I want to make sure I show you right. Okay. All right, here I am. I found it. All right, let's go to, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. You can find it as fast as I can. I don't have it marked either. I should have, but I don't. Matthew 27. And I want you to look at verse 52. Verse 52. And this is right after the crucifixion of Jesus. 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, I don't know what you call that if it's not a bodily resurrection. Now, can you imagine the folks standing there and Grandpa come walking in town being dead 25 years? That'd get your blood flowing, wouldn't it? Amen. Now, see, that would make a believer out of you. And sometimes I think that's what we need today. We need another resurrection like that. Because sometimes we just act like we just don't believe anything. But I didn't write any of this. The scripture says right here that they appeared unto many. They came out of the grave. And they went into town. Folks, there is going to be a bodily resurrection. We need to believe that. You know, when we talk about no death, there's no death in Christ, that's what the Bible means. There's no death in Christ. If you're born again, there is no death. There is no death. We're going to live forever. The soul's going to live forever. Amen? So we need to get hold to that. All right, let's move to... Let's look at what's going to happen to the lost. Go with me to Luke 16. Y'all know the story. Matter of fact, I believe the preacher taught on this or something similar to it not too long ago on Luke chapter 16. You know the story about the rich man and the poor man. This is today. Today, this is being said. Go to verse 19, Luke chapter 16. Now, this today is being taught as this is the dark age doctrine. Okay? You got that? This is dark age doctrine. We have a new doctrine today. See, that's what's being taught. Well, I told you that cooks my goose when I hear this. And this right here, when we read this story here about the rich man and the poor man, that's just a parable, but we shouldn't take it literally. It doesn't really mean anything. All this is not real. It's just something that happened. Well, that's not the way I see it.
Amen.
And we're going to read through it. In verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores. And the first thing I want you to notice, did you notice the rich man doesn't have a name?
Yep.
Did you notice that?
Yes, sir.
Now the old poor beggar, he's got a name.
Right.
Now later on, as we get into the bottom of this story, you're going to find out where the rich man's going. Now, see, those who go to hell, they don't need a name. They're not important. They've been laid aside. They've been forgotten. But those that are going to heaven, and the born again believers, we have a name. See, we're important to the Lord, amen? And sadly, those that are lost are important to him. But unfortunately, they chose themselves to go where they're at. And desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. You noticed he wasn't carried. You notice Lazarus was carried by the angels. Hey, folks, when this old body lays down, the angels are going to carry us to God. Amen?
Amen.
And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being tormented, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Folks, that's where the soul is going to go if it's lost. It's going to hell. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody likes to talk about that nasty thing called hell. But it's a reality.
Right.
And this is the problem. People say, well, that's not fair. God How can God put somebody in hell? And hell's not real anyways. It's not real. And if it was real, it's not everlasting. We're just going to burn up like rubble and straw, and boom, we're gone. But that's not what the Scriptures teach.
Amen.
I'm going to read a verse to you. Jude 1:22. And of some having compassion, making a difference. And others save with fire, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now we say that it's a dark age doctrine. And what's being taught is that we are using hell to scare people into getting saved. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Yep. No matter how you get saved, just get saved. Amen.
Right.
But what did the Scripture just say? What did the Scripture just say? Using fear, pulling them out of hell. Folks, hell's real.
That's right.
If it's real to God, then it sure enough better be real to us.
Amen.
And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with teaching hell. There's nothing wrong with teaching hell.
Right.
You need to know. We all need to know that where we're going to go when we die.
That's
we
right.
have a choice. We have a decision to make.
Right.
And as far as God being fair, it's not God that's not fair. It's the decisions that we make every day.
Right.
And all the way back to the garden, how many times have we made bad decisions all of our life? And what do? We always pointing that finger at somebody else, aren't we?
Sure.
We're always doing this. You. No, it's me.
Right.
See, we make decisions, and we're responsible for the decisions that we make.
Right.
We need to stop putting the blame on everything and everybody else. And today they're blaming God. God's not fair. Well, I'm going to read a couple of verses to you. First of all, let me back up just a moment. Let me read a verse to you. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you to prove that there is a hell. In Daniel 12:2, and many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contentment. And it did say everlasting. In other words, it's not just today, tomorrow, or a few moments or whatever. It's everlasting. Everlasting contentment. In Matthew 25:46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto everlasting life, into eternal life. Everlasting punishment. Folks, that doesn't mean that you're punished and that punishment, that's over. But the response of that punishment is going to last forever. No, it says everlasting punishment. It means what it says.
Amen.
And when people start going to the Greek and pulling out words to change things, stick your fingers in your ears and run. Folks, let me tell you something. I don't know a bit of Greek. Not one word. I'm still struggling with English. Ask Dr. Harvey over here. She'll tell you. I'm still struggling. She told me one time I don't even speak English. Hey, I'm still struggling with English. God give me this book. He give it to me in English. That's what I'm going to go by. And if we're going to back up and use other words, first of all, we got to back translate. You can't just grab a word out of something and go with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So folks, just stick to the English that God gives you. Stick to what you know. When people start grabbing at things, but you notice they always grab one word.
Right.
They don't take an entire verse. They'll grab one word. That way they can twist it. And it sounds reasonable. Oh yeah, that makes sense. Well, a lot of times it might make sense, but I'm telling you something. If it's a new revelation, you've never heard it before, there's probably a good reason that you've never heard it before.
Amen.
Okay? And the best thing to do is just remember that. And folks, I'm just trying to help you out. I don't want you to get mixed up in this stuff. All this false doctrine, I don't have a clue where it comes from. But I'm telling you right now, we just stick to what we know is true. We stick to God's word. That's all we need. We don't need anything else. You allow him to get in a little at a time, and he'll slowly turn you sour. The old devil will get you. He'll sour that heart. Next thing you know, you say, "Well, I'm going to another church. I'm tired of it around. I don't like it around here." That's what he does. He sours that old heart. And he'll take the stupidest little things that you would never, the color of the doorknob. What difference does it make? It matters to somebody.
Yeah.
Well, I'm leaving, Or I wanted pink paper towels. I mean, there's always something, you know what I'm saying? Some little something. And it all starts with untruths.
Right.
Little things that get us off track, get our mind off the focus of God, get our mind on what? Self.
Right.
That right there, that's where it's at right there. Get your focus on self,
right.
And then we're all messed up.
Yep.
We're going off in the wrong direction. We need to stay focused on God's truth and God's truth only, and leave all the Greek and all that to those who know Greek. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Romans 20 and verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down out of heaven and devoured them. Now, right here, when you read that, it devoured them. That's your hell. Boom, you're gone. That's the end of it. You was devoured. No. See, when we're reading the scriptures, like Stephen used to always say, move your finger and keep right on reading. And if you move your finger and keep right on reading, you get to Revelation 20:13, you know what it says? It says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Hey, they didn't make out too well, did they?
No.
They didn't fare too well. And that being devoured, no. See, see what they're doing? They're bypassing the rapture. They're bypassing the rapture, and they're trying to put us places all in the millennial reign. And that's not what the Bible teaches. But this is how they end up with this type of doctrine. And the second death, see, that's the end of you. You're gone. No. What is death according to Scripture? When we die in the flesh, when we die in the body, what are we? If I was to die right here, fall over dead right now, I would be separated from you, wouldn't I? My body would be here and my soul would be in heaven, but I ain't dead. I'm still alive. I was separated from you, separated from my loved ones. When my daddy died, he ain't dead. He died in the flesh. I was separated from my father, but he's in heaven, and I'm going to see him again.
Amen.
The second death is when we're separated from our godly father.
Right.
We're separated from God for eternity.
Right.
What a horrible thing. A horrible, horrible thing to think about. Folks, that's going to be hell.
Right.
Think about that for a few moments. That's going to be hell. And that's the truth of that. That's what Scripture teaches us.
Yep.
And that's what we need to hang on to, and we're out of time. Bless God. Amen. We're going to let the choir go out, and we'll take about a 10-minute break, and we'll come right back for the preaching services. Let's see what we've got here on the count.